Go to Deuteronomy 12. You understand, as you study the law, as you search out the mysteries of the law, any time it talks about an offer or eating, it has to be the peace offering. That's the only place that there was any community. It was the only place there was any communal, there was the only place there was any fellowship, was in the peace offering. Everything else was something less than and only led to the peace offering. You understand that? This is far beyond salvation, far beyond whether once saved, always saved, far beyond the feast. This is the essence. This is the essence. This is the mystery. In all of the Far Eastern discipline, spiritual exercises or religions, they all question, they all wonder, and they all look on it as a goal to be in such a mental state that you can exist without eating. And they claim that many of the yoga masters arrive at that state, where they can exist in the same manner the plant does. It absorbs its energy from the sunlight. There are some homeopathic physicians that claim that we have within our systems the necessary receptors to get our energy and our food products directly from the sun. There's a woman in India that died in 1935 that claimed that she didn't eat for 50 some years, and medical doctors went over there and tested her. Her stomach organs and her digestive system had atrophied. It was just a dry shell. And she was alive, and she was some 70, 80 years old when they investigated her. But that's not what we're here for. We eat to show a contrast. Every one of the major parables about the deeper mysteries of the Spirit are about the vegetable kingdom. You understand? Planting a seed or a vine growing. Well, there's no effort. We eat, and it requires it to be an effort in order that we might see the peace offering. That's the singular reason the human race was designed to eat and to drink. Those of you that are having troubles with weight will understand it when apprehending the peace offering. Those of you who had trouble with over acidity to the extent of eating a hole in your system will understand it when you apprehend the peace offering. Those in the other groups that are anorexic will understand it when they apprehend the peace offering. We will see that each aspect, each eating disorder that each of us have is here to show us something about the peace offering. Let's see what Jesus said. Go to John 6. John 6, starting in verse 26. The way your body processes the food, we'll understand the peace offering. In other words, God designed you and I, like we are, to cause us to see the subtleties of the peace offering. He designed us so that we would release the enzymes at the proper moment, the acidic aspects at the proper moment, the saliva at the proper moment, so that we'd understand the peace offering. There is nothing about our digestive or elimination system, including perspiration, that isn't a revelator of the peace offering. If the human race could apprehend the peace offering, it would revolutionize medicine. John 6. Verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Labor not for that meat which perisheth. Now, what does it mean for him God the Father has sealed? Ouch, ouch. Son of Man, God the Father has sealed. To seal something in the biblical times meant that there was, that the letter or the, I mean, it could, if the seal went on a document, it meant that every jot and tittle of the document was complete. If the seal or the, what's imprimatur, how do you say that word?
Imprimatur?
Imprimatur, is that the word?
It sounds good to me.
Yeah, that's it.
Imprint.
It's the imprimatur on the person. It means that he has, if he has met every requirement of that deal. I mean, it's like, it's what you get when you graduate from something. It's a type of that. When you, yeah. But the Son of Man, God has sealed. And it has something to do with labor not for the meat, the perisher. Okay? Can you accept that? Just then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who he has sent. Now it's somehow tied, believing is somehow tied to meat. Understand? Believing isn't an act of the, believing here isn't a noun, it's a verb that's tied to meat. And it's tied to being sealed. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee, that thou, what doest thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. They said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now we're going to see that there is a bread connected with the peace offering. And the priest kept one cake, and the rest of the cakes were given to the offerer. And that cake, for all of the times that a peace offering was given, was never leavened, except it was leavened in type on the Feast of Pentecost. Why? Because we were the cakes that God knew, but they weren't burned on the off on the altar like the unleavened one was. Now this may be a little complicated right now, but the fact that the leavened cakes were offered and waved is the evidence that we are accepted in our imperfection. Even we are the peace offering for the world, even in our imperfection, because he is the perfect peace offering and he's in us. You understand a little bit? Okay, so we got, there's three things that are connected with a peace offering. There's the meat of an animal. Now, damn, I'm not going to be able to stand. Never once in all of the sacrifices in the law is a wild animal accepted. The only sacrifices acceptable unto God are ones that are domesticated. Why? Because they are the ones who have taken the yoke upon them and have not offered and operated in their. That's why we are called disciples, those of discipline. You cannot be a living sacrifice in an undisciplined state. You cannot be a disciple unless you've tasted the law. Understand? There is not once that that a wild animal is acceptable unto as an offering. That just blew me away just then. I thought about it once before, but it just poured out on me right then. What does it mean to be a domesticated animal? But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Can you understand that in Christ, incarnate as Son of Man, as this perfect peace offering, he had to be in a constant state of the abandonment of himself? You understand that? His temptation was always there to take his life into his hand. Do you understand? This is the only place faith is manifested in you today. It's in that moment by moment aspect of not taking thought for tomorrow, for your own life, for what you'll eat, what you should put on, what you shall, etc., etc. But Christ was also in that position. Christ didn't come down with an agenda. With Christ, it was a slow, dawning awareness of who he was. Exactly the same as in you and I. Until the full gospel was made known unto him. Until the more perfect way was made known unto him, just like it's made known unto us. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now, Christ had to, why did the God of the world have to be trained up as that child in the law? Why did the God of this world have to memorize every one of the Proverbs before he was 7? Why did the God of this world have to memorize Leviticus and its meaning before he was 12? Why did the God of this world have to speak at least 3 languages before he was 12? It's now known that every one of the children of any kind of a Jewish, they had to speak Hebrew, Greek, and Armenian.
Armenian?
Arabic.
Huh?
Aramaic,
I mean. Excuse me. Can you see how we robbed our children? We've robbed them by not teaching them the law. We've robbed them by not disciplining them. And you resent disciplining them because you resent disciplining yourself. The idea of free time is an anathema to a child. You want some wild grapes? Give him all the free time he can handle. You want some wild grapes with direction? Let him watch television. You want someone that is not able to focus, not able to memorize anything, not able to keep their attention on one thing for more than 10 seconds? And continue on the way they are. You cause them to begin to memorize, and they will begin to have the capacity to focus. Close your eyes, every one of you, right now. Visualize a light bulb. If you're lucky, if you can keep it in your mind for a second, you should be able, by the process of memorization, to keep it in there a minute. With no interference. That's a disciplined mind. And that discipline comes by memorizing. The kids are going to think that the world fell down upon them when they go back to school. Either that or the teachers will think that the world fell down upon them.
Maybe both.
I can never again, I can't, I mean, you bet the teachers better hear this. If I even, if to the idea that you are afraid of the children is obscene, and yet I can sense that all three of you experience fear of the children. How can you be afraid of them? Boy, they'll eat that, they'll eat your lunch the moment they sense you're afraid of them. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all of which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Now, see, they got a little bit pissed off here. They're just murmuring. He said he's bread. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. It is written in the prophets that they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father save he which is of God, and he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. The bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now he's moved on to another. He's moved to another type. Part of the peace offering, the cakes. And we'll see a mystery unfold in the cakes. Now he's going to move to another one. Verse 53, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now we go to the next two aspects of it, the drink offering and the meat. So in the peace offering, which are the only ones that are consumed by the offerers, there's the drink offering, the cake that goes with the peace offering, and the meat, the flesh of the peace offering. You hear me? That any time in this Bible, from beginning to end, whenever it talks about eating in a general term, it has to be talking about the peace offering. Because that's the only offering, when it talks in the New Testament about tasting that the Lord is good, it has to. It's not just an offhanded metaphor that they're using, it's a specific thing they're talking about. When it says that it's impossible to do such and such after you have tasted, it's after you apprehend the peace offering, it's possible to do this and that. You understand me? Mm-hmm. Okay, here in John 6, we've seen Christ say, he has defined himself as all three of these. He is the cake, he is the drink, and he is the meat. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. What does that mean if not the peace offering? Does anybody know? For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Now, we've said before that the Passover predates the law, predates all the other festivals, yet includes all of the law and all of the other festivals as a type. It's a grand, what's the word if I want to say an overtype?
Archetype.
Archetype. Now, as we get further and further into the mystery, as we see more and more of Jesus that we may be like him, we're getting down now to the place where our heart lives on a second-to-second basis. We're getting down now in the peace offering to what is required that we might exist on a second-by-second basis. Do you understand? Taking the bread and the wine once a week, that's a great type, but you can still gain sustenance from some other thing and just come along and take it every once in a while. At the apprehension of the peace offering, you can never again take anything into your mouth except the peace offering in all its three manifestations. All right.
That's an interesting opposite. It's like the world seeks to be able to live for longer and longer periods of time or something. We're
seeking to live shorter and shorter. Because soon, once you apprehend it, you can't exist without it. You can never go back to eating regular food. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up whither he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Deuteronomy 12. This is going to be hard to understand, but I pray that each of you can apprehend its importance. Okay? These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land. Now, it's not an accident that in the Hebrew it says, ye shall see to do. Ye shall observe to do. That's an awkward phrase. But what it means is what we've said so often, that what you hear is what you see. If you've heard of the promised land, you shall see the promised land. If you see the promise, you shall do the promise. With no effort on your part, you were made that way. You don't have to worry about it. The only question is, do you hear? Every other question is incidental, is meaningless. Every other stimulus in your life is meaningless. From now on, the only question is, do you hear? Because if you hear, you will see. And if you see, you will do. Capiche? Observe to do. Which you shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God, thy fathers, giveth thee to possess it all the days you live upon the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which you shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. Now, it's obvious. You know now that if you have anything that is in agreement without the world, you know It's bullshit. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto God. They shall speak well of you when you doest well unto yourself. You shall overthrow their altars, break their pillars, burn their groves with fire. You shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. You shall not do so unto the Lord your God, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto this habitation shall ye seek, and thither shall you come. And there you shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and heave offerings of your hand and your vows, your freewill offerings and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. Now, watch. Pretty soon we'll see that this is a code. And we'll know exactly what he's talking about every time he talks about this stuff. Okay? We know, for instance, that your heave offering is a peace offering. We know that your vow is a peace offering. We know that your freewill offering is a peace offering. So anytime we talk about vow or votive or thanksgiving or freewill or heave or wave offerings, it will always be talking about a peace offering. If it's talking about a peace offering, you know because of the law, because now you're beginning to apprehend the law, that all of these other things had to take place first before they could be there. And along with those things, certain others had to take place. There had to be a drink offering, there had to be the cake offering. You understand? You know, any time that he's talking about a peace offering, that it's a whole bunch of things led up to it. They all had to have they had to have given all of their trespass offerings. They had to give in their sin offering. They had to have been purified from touching a dead body. They had to have been purified from any possibility of adultery. They had to have been purified from any possibility of leprosy. They had to have been purified from any possibility that there was raw flesh showing. But there's a bigger one yet that they had to be. And this is the one that you'll have to see from now on. Okay? And there you shall eat. Again, there it says eat. Therefore, you know it's peace offering involved. I mean, this is like a mystery. But it's a wonderful mystery. But it's a mystery that can only be seen through the eyes of them that have picked up the cross. Totally. This is meaningless gibberish to 99% of the universe. There you shall eat before the Lord your God, you and you shall rejoice. The promise is, if you're eating, you shall rejoice. You can't be in the position without eating and rejoicing. Do you understand? Joy cometh in the morning. It's a promise. It's not going to happen by anything you do. It's a product of His Spirit. The fruit of the peace offering is joy. It can be nothing else. No. You shall rejoice. Now hear this. In all that you put your hand unto, you and your household, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Do you understand this? It's you, all your household, and it even says in a little bit, and even the Levites that are around you. Each one of you have a pet Levite.
Some of you are pet Levites.
You have a pet Levite because he's there so you can keep your firstborn. God. No, no, I better not explain to her what she just said. Ignorance.
I'm kidding. God knows I'm kidding.
God knows when she's kidding. She may not be.
Now, here are this next one. This is the next part is the mystery. the big mystery. You shall not do after all the things that you do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. For you are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. But when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and we giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell safely in safety. You remember, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. There shall you bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice vows which you vow unto the Lord. All of those are peace offerings. But it's the place that he shall choose. Do you understand? You shall not do well. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters and your men servants and your maid servants and the Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he hath no part nor inheritance with you. Do you understand that the Levite really can't be saved? I didn't tell them that. I didn't tell them that part of it totally.
That's right. And you were worried about the ethics of your boss.
The Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he hath no part nor inheritance with you. The Levite exists only on the other side of the coin, out of your mercy.
Oh, that's almost like, because we're forming a body, there can be Levites.
Amen.
But if we all decided,
if you went
to
away,
go our own way, there could be no Levites.
Could be no Levites. You understand that? It's impossible to be a Levite unless you have something like we have. Telephone. Pete thought he better leave on that one.
Saved by the bell.
Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offering in every place that thou seest, but in the place which the Lord shall choose, in one of thy tribes, there shalt thou offer thy burnt offerings, and there thou shalt do all that I command thee. Notwithstanding, thou mayest eat, and they mayest kill and eat flesh in all thy gates, whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, in which he hath giveth thee. The unclean and the clean may eat thereof, as of the roebuck and as of the hart. Only ye shall not eat the blood. Ye shall pour it upon the earth. It is water. Do you understand really why the commandment against the blood? Why you shall not eat the blood?
There was nobody on the line.
Right? I mean, do you really understand why you don't eat blood?
There's life in the blood.
There's only one alive that we
eat.
You cannot eat anything that gives you life. Understand? That you take no personal advantage in any part of the sacrifice. There's nothing of God that can benefit you. That's a biggie. I mean, that's why the prohibition of blood is in the Bible. I mean, that's why it's throughout. That you can take no advantage, no personal advantage in the result of the sacrifice. Now listen to modern religion. That's all they do is drink the blood.
Something
if you could see in the spirit, and watch in a church service, what you would see spiritually would be a congregation of people in a mass orgy drinking blood. There would be blood coming out of their lips and the sides of their mouths. Their clothes would be bloody. Because every one of them is spiritually trying to take an advantage out of the sacrifice. Now we're about to go and move on to the deep things of God here. Thou mayest not eat within thy gates the tithe of thy corn, or of thy wine, or of thy oil, or of the firstlings of thy herds, or of thy flock, nor of any of thy vows which thou have vowed, nor of the freewill offering, nor heave offering of thy hand. You understand what I just said? You cannot eat the peace offering in your own house. But thou must eat them before the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. Thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite that was within thy gates. And thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God in all that thou puttest thy hands to do. Take heed to thyself that thou forsake not the Levite as long as thou livest upon the face of the earth. Now, I pray that you can now begin to understand why I want us to have this place of eating. You cannot eat the peace offering in your own house. You cannot even eat the peace offering in your own house, i.e. Bible study group. Now hear me. We must all eat the peace offering in one place. Now, I want you to try to hear that that place for us, because we haven't yet seen perfectly, is a physical place. But spiritually, it can only be eaten within the court of the tabernacle. You understand? The peace offering cannot exist if there's any denominationalism. The peace offering cannot exist if there's any concept of time. The peace offering cannot exist if there's any provincialism whatsoever in your own little groups. The peace offering extends the Seder into timelessness. That's what I want us to do. Now, that's why it's going to be eaten in it for us now in a place that's not sanctified by us. I.e., it's not in a place where we have Bible studies. It's in a different place. Now, I pray that we will begin to see the necessity of it. Am I communicating at all?
You said spiritually only eaten in the court of what?
The temple. So when we are there, we can't be here. Our senses are too used to eating where we eat the Seder. Or where we eat our meals at home. Or in my case, over at Wyatt's or something. This has to be something that we dedicate. We are going into that room only to eat the peace offering. It's not that that room is holy, but it's that we will by our senses see that we, when we're in that room, are in communion with all ages. We are back with Cain and Abel. We are back with, in that peace offering. Because that is the overriding reality. That is the place. We are eating the peace offering with the persecuted in China. We are eating the peace offering with the ones that are being thrown out of their churches in South America. You understand? That's a long time ago. I laid hands on Robert. And the prophecy that came forth would be that he was the one that would serve the peace offering. Remember? I don't know how many of you were around when I did that.
Wow. Who's that disaster?
It was long before any of this came about. but it's coming forth. Robert is has left his last day at work is Friday, and he's going to serve us the peace offering. We are going to begin to see that whenever we place anything in our mouth, we've entered into the court, the temple, into eternity. Wow. The act of putting something into our mouth, into our system, is the act of the affirmation that it's finished and we are in the temple. And I promise you, the wedding supper has to be the peace offering. I write unto you that know the law. I will show you wondrous things out of the law, out of my law. Let's destroy all mirrors. But I'm, for some reason, I'm just, my biggest initial happiness in this whole thing is Robert.
That's neat. That is really neat. Praise God.
Everybody understand perfectly? A little bit.
Perfectly a little bit. Better than when we came in.
We didn't get to get into all my notes here about peace offering stuff.
Well, it would take an eternity.
Only one person can invent cliches, John.
I can repeat them. As a scribe.
Anybody have anything else?
Well, we've been talking about the peace offering in our Bible study. And if I understood you right, it's okay, right? I mean, I'm
great.
I want to talk about it because it's like an opening into all the other stuff.
That's great.
That's the case. I mean, it's just like all of a sudden it started hitting on the ludicrousness of trying to
be rebellious.
Well, no, I mean, what's hitting me is just the notion of trying to sacrifice a wild animal. Impossible.
Even the turtle doves and things had to be.
They were domesticated.
They had to accept that they were going into a place where people were going to touch them. I mean, to think that you could do that with a wild beast is ridiculous. And then just to lead the wild beast to the altar and cut its throat.
There's another wild thing about the peace offering, that in all the other offerings, the blood, the animal is killed on the north side of the altar, and that's a really biggie.
Wait a minute. What are you going to say?
In the peace offering, the animal is killed at the door of the tabernacle. It's really important. Right, we'll get into that.
Did they move the labor around? Was there a special labor?
No, it wasn't a labor at all.
They just killed it right there? And
you mean the door? Which door? The
door.
Like before the door of the women?
The door. Go back in your mind to the tabernacle in the wilderness. That's the type that you have to see.
Huh. I see. Robots and hearts were not unclean.
Bambies.
I think I was talking about unclean people can eat stuff.
Well, we've got a lot left, but I hope I've created a hunger for the peace offering.
Yeah, seeing this vow in terms of the peace offering is good. I mean,
you understand that
an opportunity for us to see some stuff about the peace offering, which we wouldn't normally do because we're not.
Well, no, I'm sorry, I missed one. The peace offering was specified in only three places. One for the Pentecost, two for the completion of the Nazarite vow, and three, the installation of a new priest.
Oh, oh, that's
what the,
not tabernacle?
It wasn't specified. Now, that's the whole, that was specified in law. It can be done in a whole lot of other places from the joy of your heart.
Like, those are only the
those are the specified times in the law when it must be given. There can't be a priest ordained without the peace offering. There can't be a Nazarite vow completed without the peace offering. And there can't be a Pentecost without the peace offering. Except in the Pentecost one, it's the only public thank offering, and it's the one, the only one in which the only thing in all of the law in which leaven is not only permitted, it's required. You have to be leavened. Otherwise, that's why the only five grains can be made into. There are five grains that can be used for matzah. The determination about whether or not a grain can be used is whether or not it can be leavened. If it can be leavened, it can be used. If it can't be leavened, it can't be used. You must have the propensity for total rebellion in order that you can be totally domesticated.
Well, I think we all
we got it.
So profoundly encouraging words to sign
no
up.
No problem.
Shut up.
I'm going to call Harry and tell him he missed the best Bible
this
study.
This is a good Bible study.
Now, this one, the tape didn't run tonight.
Pete
broke the tape.
Yeah, we'll tell him that. But it was the best Bible study.
Do you still see him smoking in the spirit?
Why, he's
smoking
just,
like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, he's just, Harry's smoking like Sodom and Gomorrah if I catch him with a cigarette again. You hear that? There's no wild animals, no smoking animals.
A smoking animal is a...
If I can quit smoking, anyone in the universe can quit. Well, now, see, now that I quit smoking, now all your relatives can think I'm spiritual.
I hope it has some effect on my mom and my dad. It's like, it might. You know, who knows? This kind of stuff could just mushroom and start... freaking people out.
Whoa.
Well, the other thing that's going to happen with the part of the problem, like for Doug and Pete, Doug and Pete, one of those,
I get those two mixed up,
is that they never have enough money to do anything. Well, by doing this foxhole thing over here, it's the foxhole. He can have them sort of work for him every once in a while, and they can get some extra money. So.
I like fox sheep.
Fox's lair, huh?
No, fox
sheep. Fox sheep, get out of here.
Brian Kelcher suggested fox off another fox.
Fox off another fox.
Fox off.
Gosh.
Fox off.
Now that we're at the front of the building, we can't do any of that kind of
stuff. Fox off. Fox off, fox. Is that what he said? Fox off, fox off?
Fox off.
Oh, that's what you're going to say. On the
side of
the door.
Anybody have anything else?
It, you know, what you were saying to me earlier, you know, it's like, yeah, I know that I heard what you were saying, but to wait for the peace offering and not, you know, it's easier to be consumed with fear or judgment or
amen,
rather than hoping and trusting in that.
Yeah, in the three-year cycle we were talking about in Genesis 12 where Abram was in Sychem and he freaked out and started moving toward Egypt. You know, instead of waiting there in that place.
By the way,
we're a little behind.
Just kidding.
I won't tell you where bananas are.
Where bananas
are. They're on the second day of creation, I think.
We're on Let There Be Light.
I like those notes that the barber's giving us with the long quotes from Josephus and stuff. It's neat to have all that just right there. It's good.
She gets no kudos for that.
Why?
We had, I mean, she had a hot seat in the front porch.
On her way out of town?
On her way out of town. The day before. She comes the day before and tells me she didn't finish something. Well, she got it finished before she left, I'll tell you that. What are you doing over there?
I'm fulfilling the role of my brother Harry.
Which is?
Wait, I was going to regret saying that.
Which but is?
Just to get blasted.
Well, emphasizing a point made by the rabbi at an appropriate time.
Is this real coffee or not?
Take it, big guy, quick.